Hi, May 21 session, English A, Language and Literature Oral, Individual Oral.
No matter where you look or which country you look at, one trend that you will be able to see anywhere nowadays is the widening economic gap between rich and poor. To examine this global issue and the side effects on society it has, I will take a look at the poem Money, written by Philip Larkin, as well as an advertisement by Patek Philippe, a luxury watchmaking company. Now, Larkin, in his works, is usually very critical of society and has very cynical stances on many things. And one thing he talks about quite a lot is superficiality of people, and especially superficiality when it comes to money. One example of this, for example, is the poem An Arundel Tomb by Philip Larkin, in which he talks about how the only thing that really remains of us after death is the love we give to other people, not the money we had. Or also Friday Night at the Royal Station Hotel, where he details how businessmen will avoid their homes and families for very long times just in the pursuit of money. So his general opinion about this topic, about the topic of money, is that it is a very shallow thing to strive for and that people are often too obsessed with it. And this general view is also reflected in this poem right here, in Money. In the first verse, the speaker says, "Quarterly is it money reproaches me." So here we have this personification of money and also a take on the idiom money talks, which a very literal take on it, which essentially means that money can get you power and influence. And this goes further in the third verse in the first stanza, where the money says, "I'm all you've had of goods and sex." And then in the third verse in the second stanza, where the speaker again says that money can buy you a second house and car and wife. So what Larkin does here, he lists all these things that money can get you, whether it be money and power and materialistic goods. But one thing he never says in this poem, or any of his other works for that matter, is that money can buy you happiness or fulfillment. He never says that. And in fact, here he almost hints at the opposite being the case, that money can also cause problems. For example, by putting goods at the same level as sex, or the wife at the same level as the house and the car, in which he shows that money very much commodifies everything around us and takes away a very intimate human aspect of life, which is a very depressing and cynical thought, which is, I suppose, very typical for Larkin. Now, what this means in the context of the global issue is that while, yes, there might be an economic gap between rich and poor, and the rich will always have more materialistic possessions than the poor, it doesn't mean that the poor can't lead happy and fulfilling lives, because after all, you don't need money to do that. Which I suppose is a very hopeful outlook on this, on the global issue. Now, in the third stanza of this poem, the speaker goes on to say, "And however you bank your screw, the money you save won't in the end buy you more than a shave." So here, the thesis is being established that how no matter how well you save your money, in the end, that isn't what's going to get you rich. Instead, what you have to do is spend and invest money, which is very topical towards for the global issue, because it shows how the rich can get richer and the poor stay poor. After all, it needs money to invest money. Larkin then takes this thesis from the third stanza and expands on it a little in the fourth stanza, where he details how we can see this divide between rich and poor in our everyday life. He says, he can see from long French windows at a provincial town the slums, the canal, the churches ornate and mad in the evening sun. It is intensely sad. So what he's saying here, what he's describing here, is how we can see this global issue manifest itself within our everyday lives, within our cityscapes, right? We have the poor slums right next to the rich, very rich churches. And again, Larkin's general view on the topic shines through here. It exemplifies his general view again, when the speaker says the churches are ornate and mad, right? So he thinks that it is mad to be this obsessed about money, to have this much money. And then I guess the same goes for the last phrase he says there, it is intensely sad. Now, coming to the advertising by Patek Philippe, one thing to really keep in mind when looking at these Patek Philippe advertisements as a whole and also this campaign as a whole is that is who they're trying to market for, right? Who is their general audience, which is very, very rich people. After all, Patek Philippe makes very, very expensive watches. So this means that their view on money as a whole will be much more positive. And this also manifests itself in these ad campaigns. And one way this shows is through their usage of their slogans. So this ad campaign, or also just Patek Philippe ads in general, will always have these two slogans. Here it is visible. One of them is visible at the bottom. You never actually own a Patek Philippe. You merely look after it for the next generation. And then the second slogan is begin your own tradition in the top right there. And already these two slogans start to establish the thesis that with money, you can buy more than just a materialistic possession. With money, by buying their watch, you can actually buy a family heirloom. You can start a family tradition, right? And then this thesis is expanded through their use of imagery in these ad campaigns, because the picture always features a parent and their child having a nice moment together. In this case, it's a dad and his son. The dad is showing his son how to tie a knot on a boat, a generally very happy memory, I suppose. Also, the picture is in black and white, again, symbolizing that it is supposed to be a memory. And through this huge appeal to pathos, through this huge appeal to the emotion of the viewer, they're trying to express how money can get you so much more than just this watch. But instead, it can preserve the happy memories you made with your child. And they're really trying to market and sell this human happiness. Another piece of evidence for this is always the layout of these ads. In these ad campaigns, you will always see the picture of the people being the central focus of the advertisement, right? It is very large. In fact, it is the entire background, while the product itself, the watch, is just off to the, like, kind of to the side there, very small in the bottom corner there, which again suggests that they're really trying, what they're really trying to sell is emotion, this human happiness, instead of the actual product. So their general message is that money can buy you happiness, that it can buy you fulfillment in these ad campaigns. And what this means in the context of the global issue, again, is that the economic divide between rich and poor also brings a divide in happiness between these two groups. Now, this message makes a lot of sense when you think about their general audience again, because obviously they will want to try to make their very rich audience feel good and feel happy about the money they have, and really try to sell this promise of human happiness through their product. To summarize, you can say that the poem exemplifies Larkin's view on the topic of money very, very well. Because he keeps saying, he lists all these things, how money can get you everything but happiness, which again means in the context of a global issue that even if you are poor, even if you are less well off, you can still lead a happy and fulfilling life. And then we have the Patek Philippe ad on the other side, really pushing this message that no, money can in fact buy you happiness and fulfillment if you just buy our product, our watch, which gives off a very sad and pessimistic view about the global issue as a whole.
Super. Thanks very much. I'll start with the Larkin because you did, I guess. You were talking about this, one of the part of the message is to that you have to sort of spend to invest. Could you give a little bit of evidence from the poem on that, and just explain that a little bit more, because I like that idea.
Right. So he says in the second stanza that he doesn't know what to do with his own money, right? He says he looks at others, what they do with their here in the second stanza. And he says they certainly don't keep it upstairs. No, they spend it on things like a second house and car and wife. And they have all these things that he maybe doesn't have, right? And there this thought of spending and investing comes from. And then, he specifies in the third stanza then at the end that in fact saving his money, what he's doing, doesn't bring him very far. It doesn't buy you more than a shave.
Okay, so and I think you said earlier that idea that it plays into the idea that actually the wealth gap increases because the rich have money to invest and they get richer and
Right, yeah.
the poor don't. Okay, while you were talking about that, I was thinking about the actual sort of some aspects of the style of the poem. In what way do you think this poem is stylistically representative of some others of his work in the collection, just in terms of the way it's put together?
Right. Well, actually, the structure of the poem, or like the style of the poem, is actually quite different from some of Larkin's other works because it uses a very simple rhyme scheme. For example, it uses just a pair rhyme all the way through. It has four stanzas with four verses, and a lot of Larkin's other poems are a bit more complex in that way. For example, one example I really like from An Arundel Tomb, where he notices the count holding the countess's hand, and he says he notices it with a sudden shock, and in that moment the rhythm of the poem actually changes a little bit to kind of represent this shock, for example. And those features aren't actually present in here this much. This is actually one of Larkin's more simpler poems, I
So
would
is
say.
the rhythm quite regular in this one as well then?
Yes,
Yeah.
it is quite regular.
Okay, cool. Okay, and I think you sort of gave an overarching idea that Larkin's general sort of view is commenting on superficiality, cynical, in particular talking about inequality. How might that even if it's not to do with the issue, the global issue you've represented, the idea of I guess wealth inequality, economic inequality. Does his general feeling of commenting on cynically about superficial values and things, is that something that's also represented across the collection?
Yes, definitely. I mean, he often talks about things like faith, beliefs, also things like love, in a rather negative light, like representing it very cynically. So yeah, it's not only about money, it's also about other aspects of life, I suppose.
And do you see that in sort of other works as well then, or just
Well, I guess one poem in particular that comes to my mind first is the poem Afternoons, in which he kind of talks about the standard working class family in Afternoon, the standard working class family, and he talks about how their marriage, the pictures from their wedding is kind of lying next to the TV, and it's kind of and their courting places, the playground that they used to play on, is very. It's almost kind of run down nowadays, and it gives this view of kind of this fading love, which is a very sad view on it, I suppose, very cynical view on it.
I'm going to go on to the advertisement. Again, you mentioned the campaign. In which way, how would you say this particular example is representative of the campaign as a whole in terms of style or ideas?
All right. I mean, you can almost imagine any of the Patek Philippe ads like this. It's always a parent and their child. Sometimes it's black and white, the picture, sometimes it's not. The general layout is the same, always with a picture big in the middle. And even the imagery of boats, and I suppose this is like a yacht, is used more than only in this one. They show off these wealthy, these expensive boats and very expensive houses, things like that. So yeah, this is actually very similar to all of the other Patek Philippe ads in the campaign.
Super. One final thing. I know we're close on time. One final thing. You talked about the idea that it's using a human story to market product. How do you feel about that, the idea?
Well, I mean, it makes sense from a business standpoint, but of course, it is somewhat morally, it's not quite right in a moral sense, I think. But I think they're all, it's not necessarily malicious. I don't think they're trying to trick people. They're just trying to give their product a good image.
Thanks.